This is Bruce Marable from EmployCycle, the HR analytics dashboard for small and medium companies. Since we already host an HR podcast, we thought the best way we could provide value is to share interviews about how HR and business leaders are trying to reduce stress and anxiety with their employees during this coronavirus public health crisis. Please listen to the following interviews, and we hope that it helps you and your company.
I would like to welcome a special guest, and that is Strill Strazula. Phil Strazula, how I messed that up.
Hey, Bruce.
Oh, man. Sorry about that. Phil Strazula, founder at SLX Software.
No worries,
today,
man.
Today, we're going to talk about which HR tools will help you manage your workforce during coronavirus. Man, just being in the house for so much has gave me a brain fart there.
Yeah, I think we all have a little bit of stress clogging our neural networks these days. A lot of things sort of floating around in our heads as we try to manage the new normal and try to figure out how long the new normal will last for.
Yeah, for sure. So, Phil, what does SLX Software do, just to give some context for why we're having this conversation?
Yeah, sure. So we spend all our days talking to HR tech vendors, practitioners, analysts, venture capitalists, et cetera, to just have a very in-depth, holistic understanding of the HR tech landscape. And then we write up what we find into these categories to help HR practitioners and recruiting practitioners figure out which are the tools they should use for a given problem. So for example, maybe you're looking at adding video interviews to your recruiting process, given we want to be socially distant from each other nowadays. And so we would have a page on our website that has the top couple of vendors that we would recommend to a friend. We would have why we recommend them. And then we have all this other advice on there about how to think about pricing, return on investment, questions to ask on demos, implementation best practices, basically everything that you kind of need to know to buy this sort of tool successfully. Does that make sense for kind of what we do and how we do it?
It does. It does. So today's topic is which HR tools will help you manage your workforce during coronavirus. So today we're not going to do a very formal interview because there's just so much craziness going on. So we're just going to get straight to it and talk about what are the things that HR leaders and people ops leaders are asking you right now, and what types of tools, and actually we should probably start with the problems. What types of problems are they looking to solve right now regarding their workforce during coronavirus?
Yeah, I think there's two big buckets. One is on the recruiting side, and two is on the sort of like rest of the employee life cycle. On the recruiting side, people are asking, how do I continue to hire despite the challenges of the inability to meet somebody face-to-face, right? And so the obvious sort of answer to that question is video interview software. And we're getting questions from individuals emailing our website, which is awesome. We're always happy to answer those questions despite, you know, not really being consultants. Like, we just want to help people out. And then what we're also seeing is, from an analytics perspective, the number of people searching for video interview software or virtual interviews or, you know, whatever permutation you want to use has increased like 500%. I think it's 524% over the past 2.5 weeks, which is absolutely insane. Just, you know, when you look at the historical data, but it totally makes sense. There are a subset of companies out there that are continuing to hire, and they could be continuing to hire because they're in an industry that's actually performing well, or at least surviving during these times. Think about some of the, like, the food delivery companies, Zoom, Peloton, Blue Apron, etc. And then there's the companies that are just like, hey, you know what? We've seen these blips before. We're definitely going to have some disruption in the economic cycle, but we're going to come back stronger than ever. How do we do that? Well, we want to make sure that we continue to attract and hire the right people. And we have a unique sort of time in history where some of our talent competitors might be scrambling. And if we can scramble faster and be more nimble, we can actually get some of this amazing talent into our pipelines and actually close them out. And that's actually what's happening when I talk to candidates as well. Job seekers, for the most part, if they were in a process are seeing most companies sort of going radio silent. A couple of companies communicating, hey, you know, we're trying to figure things out, like look to hear from us in a week or two. And then there's like a very small sliver of companies that are continuing to forge ahead. And if that candidate gets an offer, they're probably going to take it, especially with so much uncertainty in the economic sort of outlook. And so video interviews is definitely like the number one thing. I think a lot of people are trying to figure out, do I want a dedicated video interview tool versus just using Zoom or FaceTime or Google Hangouts? And that's a very real question. Zoom, FaceTime, these can be really easy to set up, many times super cheap options that allow you to just like, you know, in an hour, get something set up for your video interviews. And if you have a video interview in an hour, I would probably recommend just using FaceTime, assuming the other person has an iPhone. However, I think that the video interview solutions exist for a reason. And so if your company is hiring more than a couple of people, it makes sense to have that ATS integration, to have the scheduling functionality, to do the on-demand asynchronous interviews, in addition to the kind of real-time one-on-one interviews, to add the employer branding, to do all the stuff that these solutions are designed to do. And the other sort of thing in this hiring bucket is on the tech assessment side of things. This is another way to sort of continue to hire virtually, where instead of doing like a whiteboard coding exercise, you can send somebody an automated assessment that asks them how to, you know, build an API endpoint or work on a large data set or, you know, whatever sort of the problem is that fits the role that you're looking for.
So what are some of the pros and cons of using a video interviewing tool versus using something like Zoom?
Yeah, so I think that Zoom, honestly, like it's hard really to rationalize using Zoom relative to a video interview platform unless you're just very familiar with it, or you're either looking at using Zoom or a more enterprise level video interview platform and you just want to use this for like a week or two. And you're not really sure how this is going to evolve, and you already have a Zoom license. I think unless that's the case, there are several solutions that are incredibly easy to set up, probably even easier to set up than Zoom. And the benefits are you can most times do everything from your ATS. So your recruiters need less training. They don't need another login. The data is stored in your ATS in a compliant way. Scheduling is usually a part of these solutions. So people's schedules change, et cetera. You can do on-demand questions, which is a huge use case. Depending on the demographic you're hiring for, especially if it's higher volume, the on-demand interviews are great because you can basically send somebody four or five questions. They do them at their own pace, and then you get that back in your ATS. So there's lots of different sort of bells and whistles. Employer branding is also a huge thing. You can add like pre-roll videos. You can add instructions. You can sort of sell people on your culture. So there's all these little things that have been built into the video interview platforms. And then I think probably the other sort of major bucket, and this is for more of the advanced systems, is some of these have the ability to transcribe the text and analyze it. So let's say you've got 100 applicants for a retail position, you can, with pretty high degree of confidence, cut that list into the top third and focus your time on those through basically an AI-based assessment.
Got it. So we've been talking about hiring. Are there any other areas where people are trying to figure out how to do things virtually, maybe like onboarding?
Yeah. I think the rest of the employee lifecycle from onboarding through exit is all trying to be figured out in an ad hoc way. And there's obviously some companies that have figured this out, like Buffer is a remote company, and they've written a lot about this. Zapier is a remote company that has written an entire playbook. I think it's like 100 pages long or something. That's definitely worth checking out. We're going to have something on our blog in the next day or so, probably by the time it's published, probably it's out there already. So there's lots of tips and tricks from an onboarding perspective. Basically, like, you have to think about the remote workspace as essentially like the co-located workspace without, this sounds so obvious, without the human interaction. And what do you lose with the human interaction? You lose the ability to look at people's facial expressions and understand if they're angry or happy when they say something. You lose the ability for a lot of real-time communication, for this sort of like latent team building that happens when people chat over coffee or maybe get together after work or get lunch together, etc. And so there's a company called Help Scout that is a remote first company based out of Boston. They've got probably 10 people in Boston and the rest of the team is sort of scattered all over the world. And they've figured out that when they onboard somebody, they need to set up basically coffee chats over Zoom for people to really get to know their teammates. They need to have very structured guidelines on how to communicate. So Slack is best for fast communication. If you're not on Slack, you've got to let people know so that they understand the expectation of when you actually get back to them and they're not getting upset. You need to be overly expressive in emails, whether that's negatively or positively. You have to be very proactive about giving and asking for feedback because, again, we're not able to see if your boss is smiling or not when they tell you that this was acceptable, right? And so you have to basically make up for all that stuff that doesn't happen over email and over Slack. And what I think is interesting is that a lot of the stuff that we all want in culture comes through even more in remote workforces because we're forced to be more intentional and proactive about it.
Got it. One of the other things that I've been hearing from HR leaders is them really stressing and really working hard to try to figure out how to keep their employees engaged and then also measure engagement. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any uptick in any of those solutions? And if so, what does that look like?
You know, it's funny that obviously there's an entire employee engagement category on our website, and it's everything from pulse surveys to more sort of annual engagement, deep dives. We haven't really seen an uptick there, and I'm wondering if it's because of the costs associated with these sorts of platforms and the potential fear of budget freezes that are coming. Specifically to HR as, you know, the traditional sort of cost center in a lot of businesses, rightly or wrongly. And so we haven't actually seen that happening, but I think we've seen some more like employee engagement sort of tactics being employed by different companies. So doing like virtual happy hours, doing team get-togethers over Zoom or Hangouts, companies that are doing asynchronous stand-ups over Slack. So instead of, you know, everybody getting up in the first part of the day and talking about what they're working on, they're sort of doing it over Slack. So if you have to take care of your kids, you have to do things around the house, you can still participate, but you don't have to carve out that time at 9 a.m. or whatever the case may be. I think there's also some free tools like Trello that will allow teams to very effectively track who's working on what, how much progress they're making, and then also end of week meetings that sort of allow people to showcase what they've been working on so that they stay engaged. There's also a little bit of a, hey, you kind of got to do something or else you're not going to have anything at the end of the week to talk about dynamic at play. But all these things that I think a lot of the best companies have, from a culture perspective, have kind of figured out over the last, you know, 10, 20 years, a lot of this stuff, honestly, it's come out of like Silicon Valley and Google. Companies are starting to adopt this more and more because they have to in order to keep folks engaged in a time when everybody's super stressed out and we're all remote for the first time with very little guidelines and little oversight.
Got it. In regards to training or other areas of the workforce, maybe helping people stay connected or giving people perks or other things. Do you have any insight into people looking into those types of things? And even if they aren't, how people could potentially still do that virtually?
Yeah, again, it's interesting because you'd expect more companies to be looking at rewards and recognition platforms in this, you know, kind of new normal. But again, that's something that we're seeing fall by the wayside in terms of search traffic on Google, which is probably the best barometer to understand what people are actually prioritizing. And I think a lot of that's because there's just so much uncertainty and there's so many fire drills about what to do today to make sure that from a compliance perspective, you're all set. Are we going to furlough people? Are we going to lay people off? Or, you know, what is our business going to look like in 2 or 3 months or next week? And nobody knows the answers to these questions. And so things that I think a lot of people would view as longer term projects, like having a better strategy around rewards and perks, are falling by the wayside as people are more kind of in this, you know, plan for the worst sort of phase of life. And then what you're seeing, and you're seeing this a little bit on like social media as well, you're seeing like one-off managers really, as opposed to, I think many times people ops teams coming up with ideas for how to continue to recognize people, how to keep people engaged, et cetera. And I think that as HR's time frees up a little bit from the very pressing needs of the right here and now, they're going to develop even better playbooks for doing that across the organization.
Got it. So to sum it up, it really is about virtual hiring if a company is in a good enough position to continue to hire, virtual onboarding, and really making sure that they're keeping their employees communicated or keeping their employees connected.
Yeah. And I think it obviously depends on a company by company basis and also what your outlook on the world is and your ability to survive in a prolonged downturn. But the best practices are just that. It's keeping your recruiting function intact and going in the probable case that we have a fairly fast recovery, especially given it's an election year and there's just a tremendous amount of innovation happening with the ability to create PPE for doctors, with the ability to ramp up testing, quarantining, digital tracing, etc. And so it's that from a top of funnel perspective, and then from a like employee perspective, just like trying to have some common sense work from home policies that's probably not holistic, but will get you through the next week or two as you can think more and more deeply about what makes sense specifically to recommend to your organization. But I think a lot of times in the people function, we sort of like want to have the 100% correct full plan. And it makes a lot of sense in this case to put out a good enough plan in the short term and buy yourself some time to create something that's even better with the information that we're going to have in a week or two or three about where our world is actually going.
Where can people find you and your company online if they are looking for resources to find HR software to help them during these crazy times?
Yeah. So on the Select Software Reviews blog, we're posting a lot of stuff about remote work and remote hiring and general tips for dealing with COVID-19 coronavirus. You can also follow me on LinkedIn, Phil Strazula, 2 Z's, 2 L's. There's not more than 2 or 3 of us in the world, so I'm pretty easy to find.
Got it. Well, Phil, thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule during these crazy times to help people better understand what people are looking for, what HR and people ops leaders are doing to better manage their workforce during coronavirus. And I hope that you, your family, and all the people that you work with also stay safe and stay healthy. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me, Bruce.
If this interview helped you, please send to all the HR and business leaders in your network, since we're all looking for some reassurance, some guidance, and a sense of community. Stay tuned for more episodes by subscribing to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcast episodes. Or you could also check in at employeecycle.com/podcast to get more interviews like this. Please stay safe and stay healthy. Talk to you soon.